He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about whatever you want to talk about. I know I did a mailbag episode on Sunday and got to more of the traditional mailbag questions that we take. But for this one, we're going to try something a little bit different. Normally, I stream these shows over two platforms, obviously here on YouTube and then to my Twitter account. Thing is, Twitter artificially boosts its viewership numbers. So if you like accidentally glance at that show, not only does Twitter count it as viewership, but it also won't like it won't show that people have tuned out. And you know, I've just kept on going there because those numbers going up make me feel good, but they are also impossible to monetize. So I am here and I want to see what the numbers look like if we just keep this YouTube exclusive. And then I'll turn it into a podcast, obviously. But what this does mean, though, is that I need your help. And I need you to pop in here, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and then also send me a question in the form of a comment. It could be a paid comment. It could be a regular comment. I just need every question and comment that I can get so that we can carry this episode further into a manageable amount of time. I will obviously open up with some thoughts on the state of the Lakers right now, kind of laugh at myself, given that every time I get optimistic about the team, something bad happens. And I think I said I had JD, who is who tunes into the show regular, texted me today. And he said that apparently I said I wouldn't go so far as to say that the Lakers were the best team in the league. And ever since that moment, the Lakers have gone 3-7. The last time Pete and I went, came on the show and talked about how optimistic about the state of things, something else disastrous happened. Jovan Buha and I came on the show and talked about our optimism and I think that's when Rui and LeBron both got hurt. The Lakers, anybody from the Lakers organization, if you guys are watching, hit me up and pay me to continue to criticize you guys. Because apparently anytime I do anything but criticize the Lakers, something terrible is right around the corner. So wanted to kind of chuckle about that. I do want to start with a very first takey question. What is more concerning with these Lakers, the offense or the defense? So we'll talk about that. And then, like I said, it's going to come down to you guys. If I get three questions from now until I answer those three questions, that'll be the length of the show. If I get 30 questions, I will get to as many of those questions in an hour or so that I possibly can. And that'll be the show, but we'll see how this goes. But yeah, let's go ahead and dive on it. Quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button if you guys are watching live here on Twitter. And then if you guys are, new here because of the new format of the show, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, all of that good stuff. And then if you guys are listening to this in the form of a podcast, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your pods and leave a 5-star review wherever it is that you get your pods, preferably on Odyssey because I'm a company man. Where is it? Right there. Yeah, right there. Right down there. That Odyssey logo down there. All right, let's go ahead and discuss the state of the Lakers.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So it's been one of those funny days on Twitter where everybody is in such a bad mood that anything anyone says has to be disagreed with. And some people are saying, yeah, God, this team sucks. They can't stop anybody. And people are like, no, you're wrong. This team sucks because their offense sucks. And no, you're wrong. This team sucks because maybe they sucked all along. Or no, those guys are wrong because, no, the Lakers suck because they are still relying on a 40-year-old LeBron and Austin Reeves isn't good enough to be a third best player. Like, everybody is finding their own reasons for why the Lakers suck again. And I don't know. I, at this stage of my life, I'm not really all that interested in Twitter bickering. But I still see it, and it, you know, is a very active community. I wouldn't have this gig without that very active community. And I don't know, I guess I'll chime in. One, I don't think the Lakers suck. It's late March, and as I talked about in yesterday's show, this team has senioritis. They see the playoffs right around the corner. They have LeBron and Luka on their team. Yes, there are certainly some concerns. I'm not thrilled about the fact that Jackson Hayes is the starting center for a team that hopes to win a championship either this year or next year. I am nervous about Rui Hachimura's knee, because without him, the Lakers' offensive floor, I know we talk a lot about offensive ceiling or the team's ceiling as a result of Rui's presence, but I think he's actually kind of more of a floor raiser with his ability to knock down open shots and opposing defenses having to care about him on the court compared to how they feel about Dorian Finney-Smith and certainly Jared Vanderbilt. Those are a couple concerns. I don't love the fact that Luka Doncic and LeBron James still haven't really run anything together, and that anytime Luka, Austin, and LeBron are out there on the court, they play the roll the ball out their offense, and I don't really enjoy watching that offense. And I think they're kind of playing with a hand tied behind their back. So long as that continues, their point of attack defense leaves a lot to be desired. And I think they're very vulnerable against teams that have three level scorers at the point guard position. So there are certainly concerns. Maybe the defense, when it was playing really well and they were kicking everybody's butt earlier about a month ago or whatever, maybe that was the outlier, and that they have returned, or they have turned back into a pumpkin defensively. Maybe, you know, that they were benefiting from some poor shooting from some of those teams out there, but I also think they aren't necessarily as bad as they've been when they've gotten outlier shooting on the positive side for some of those teams. So if I had to rank my concerns with this team right now, my number one concern is the offense and how rudimentary and how pedestrian the offense looks as a result of how basic the sets are. I know that eventually in the postseason, that's essentially what these plays kind of whittle down to. And the strategy in the game devolves to, all right, let's get our best player with the ball in his hands and try to get him matched up one-on-one against the other team's worst defender. Like, okay, all right, I get it that eventually that's where you want to get to. But that's the kind of thing that, like, you shouldn't need to work on over the course of the season. And for, like, 40 or so minutes over the course of these NBA games, maybe a little bit less, you do run stuff and you do need to score efficiently and effectively in the half court. And I just don't think that the Lakers are as effective or efficient as they could be if they just ran stuff that utilized their best players. I know that's groundbreaking analysis, but that's where I stand on it. So I don't know, over the last however many games the Lakers have between now and the end of the season, the number one thing I'm going to be looking for is when Luka and when LeBron and when Austin are all on the court together at the same time, are the Lakers ever actually going to run anything? And by extension there, whenever Austin and Luka are on the court together, can we have Austin setting an actual screen there? Because essentially, and everything right now appears to be revolving offensively around Luka either creating for himself or others. And I get it. He's an incredible creator, whether that be for himself or others. But I do think if you have other, you know, secondary and tertiary creators like the Lakers do in LeBron James and Austin Reeves, and you basically turn those guys into 3-and-D defenders, that's making them worse versions of themselves. And like even when Austin is setting screens, there was a possession against Orlando yesterday that I was watching and it was driving me crazy because Austin kept on, it was basically a two guard kind of situation, whether it was by design or it just kind of happened. But Austin and Luka were up on at you know, up top. Austin passed the ball over to Luka as the shot clock was kind of winding down and Austin goes to set a screen. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this should create something. This should generate a decent look. Whenever Austin sets a screen for LeBron, it tends to create a decent look. But Austin kept doing this thing where he would go to set the screen, and he would just kind of, like, tap the player on the butt, and then he would, like, try to pop really, really quickly without ever actually doing anything in terms of setting a screen. And he did that, like, three times. And the point clearly is to get whoever was guarding Austin, guarding Luka, so that Luka could attack that guy and force the defense to rotate to that mismatch. And I understand that is a big chunk of the offense, especially late in games. But also, the Lakers were running some really cool stuff with LeBron and with AD and with Austin down the stretches of these games, where you would have these, you know, three-man sets that the Lakers were running that opposing teams just didn't know what to do with. And it basically turned into those opposing teams just not guarding the corner and then hoping that Rui or Vando, or, well, not really Vando, he wasn't playing much at the time, but it was like Rui or Gabe or Dorian, like, defenses were just not guarding those guys because they had to focus solely on the three-man combination of LeBron, Austin, and AD. And I understand that it's not apples to oranges, or it is apples to oranges, because Luka and AD are such different players. But this notion of, like, yeah, we can't do anything involving those three guys in the same set, that's where I just kind of scratch my head a little bit. It doesn't really make a ton of sense to me. And like, this is the time of the year also where you should be trying some of that stuff out. All right, like, you don't necessarily think, excuse me, you don't think that it'll work. Okay, I get it. There are some concerns there. But, like, can we just see it? Can we see what it looks like? Can we see what kind of predicament those three guys put the opposing defense into? Like that? Like, let's just see what it looks like and give it a go. And if it doesn't work, okay, you weren't planning to run it anyway. So I think I would start with the offense being a concern, and specifically the half-court offense is a concern of mine. From there, I would say the rebounding is a concern. You know, you just don't have very many big guys. And when you play against a team like Oklahoma City, or you play against a team like Denver, or you play against a team like Houston or Memphis or some of these bigger and or more athletic teams, Minnesota comes to mind. The Clippers come to mind with Zubats. Like the defensive rebounding there from the Lakers, you run the risk of really putting yourself at a disadvantage, because that's how math swings one way or the other, the position battle. And the Lakers have to work really, really hard to get stops. And then if you get that stop, you generate the miss, and then you don't grab the rebound, then you put yourself in an impossible spot for whatever comes after that offensive rebound. And then on top of it, you wear yourself down, because that's an extra possessions that defense has to play that hard for. And yeah, so defensive rebounding is a pretty big concern of mine. That's number two. And then number three, I would say this is kind of a cheat code here, but the transition offense and their reluctance at times to run because of how Luka prefers to play and how LeBron prefers to play. This team isn't good enough in the half court to be as reticent as they can be sometimes to run. And part of that right now is that it is March 25th. Happy birthday, Mom. It is March 25th, and you don't want to exert yourself too much, because the playoffs are right around the corner and you're just tired. 6 games in 8 nights. They're probably still recovering from it. But the transition in the regular season, like as the season dwindles down a little bit, and their hesitancy to run during the stretch has been kind of annoying. And it makes me really concerned, because in the postseason, you can't run as much. And if the Lakers are at all hesitant to run on the few occasions that they're able to run, and this offense isn't quite hitting at the rate that it needs to hit, now you start to get really constipated and you force your defense to have to carry you. And I just don't think the Lakers have the defense, the personnel, to have the defense carry them. So those are kind of my three main concerns, and we'll see how well those are figured out, to what extent they get figured out over the course of the rest of the season. And I'm curious what you guys think as well. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into your questions, and there are plenty of them. So let's, I have a lot of work to do here. LeBrock Purdy writes, is Goodwin going to get signed? I believe so. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if the Lakers opt to keep Cam Reddish just to maintain their depth, because of Rui's banged up knee and Jared Vanderbilt's being in and out of the lineup over the course of the year. Dorian Finney-Smith has been nursing this ankle thing. It's going to be interesting to see if the Lakers are get a little bit of cold feet when it comes to waiving Cam, because of the state of their wing rotation, their role player wing rotation. Add to that LeBron's injury, and their just wing rotation in general is pretty banged up. But he's a big part of their rotation. He's their best point of attack defender, and he's the only one of their point of attack defenders who has any kind of physicality and size. Gabe tries really, really hard, but I think he's listed at 6'3 or something like that, and that seems way bigger than Gabe actually is. So I believe Goodwin is going to get signed at some point here soon. I'm going to write about that entire situation for Clutch Points, and everything I've heard to this point is that, yeah, Goodwin will be on the playoff roster. Clayton DeMarkey writes, a big hug from Brazil. Brazil. Since the Lakers is so beloved around the world, what do you think about preseason overseas or a veteran team traveling around the world? My dream is to see a game personally. It's something the league would love to see the Lakers do. And you know, historically the Lakers have been involved in stuff like that. They've gone and played in China. Remember now infamously that China trip was, that all took place. The Lakers were in China when Daryl Morey, you know, retweeted that tweet or whatever he did that pissed off the Chinese government. And the, you know, the Lakers were kind of stuck out there and there was all that kind of concern about their security. But the Lakers have gone there. We just saw the Dodgers go play in Japan. That's a market that I know the league would like to get a hold of, and the Lakers would like to get a hold of by having Rui on their team. Brazil is an interesting one, or all of those kind of South American countries there, you know, are interesting as options. There's a ton of passion for basketball down there. I talk to Lee twice a week about this stuff on Basketball Passport. And he, you know, I believe he was just in Peru, and he went to Argentina earlier this year as well. And he just says, like, every time he goes down there, he just gets question after question after question. Like, when's the league coming down here? When's the NBA coming? When's the NBA coming down here? Like, when do we get to watch these guys up close and personal? I would love for it to happen. Unfortunately, the league can't like keep only using the Lakers because, in as much as they would like to, with the Lakers being the league's kind of only major global brand. But yeah, I would say, you know, before too long, the NBA will refocus itself on. They calmed some of this stuff down because of COVID, but. You know, as the world hopefully opens up a little bit and maybe one day stabilizes, that'll never happen. I would say that the Lakers will probably make a trip down to South America in one way or another.